ulterior motive to pay her bail?
Why would I just give someone $2,000?
Because you liked her. That's why.
I think you have the whole thing pretty much figured out.
But
by this time, she's dating your brother.
His feelings changed.
We were pushing each other in the hallway. She slapped me. I slapped her back. She grabbed a knife. And she came at me, and that was the last straw. I punched her in the face.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 22-year-old Ben Stern is suing his brother's girlfriend, 21-year-old Sophia El Haribi, for a loan for bail and for assaulting him with a knife.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 414 on the calendar, the matter of Stern versus El Haribi.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Sir, have a seat.
Mr. Stern, how old are you, sir?
I'm 22.
What do you do for a living?
I deliver pizzas for Pizza Hut.
And is that all you do for a living?
Yes.
Tell me how you know the defendant.
I met her friend Sabrina, and she introduced me to Sophia, and we started hanging out.
Hanging out?
Yep.
Now, by hanging out, you mean you were friends?
Yep.
Not dating?
Not dating.
What were you arrested for?
Oh, when I was arrested for saving a man who was beating his dog in Seattle, Washington.
No, that's what you said in your answer, but there's no crime.
There is a crime when it's someone else's animal,
so
they can
see that it is a crime. There's no crime. Listen to me. There's no crime that you can be arrested for saving a dog.
Well, you can save someone else's animal, which is their property.
But I'm telling you, that's not the crime that you were arrested for. You're arrested for assault, burglary, robbery, grand larceny, disorderly conduct.
No,
there's
I wasn't.
Well, what was the charge that you were arrested for?
Originally, I was arrested for a second-degree strong-arm robbery.
Okay, so that was the original charge, second-degree robbery.
Yes.
And in what month and year were you arrested for second-degree robbery?
January 2013.
In what jurisdiction?
Seattle, Washington, King County.
What was the date? January what?
I believe 7th.
Now, when you were arrested January 7th, who did you call?
I called a lot of people. I called my dad.
And what happened when you called your dad?
My dad told me a lot of people had contacted him. I just called around to see what was going on and see if I can have people talk to other people for me that I didn't have their numbers, see if I can get numbers.
To do what?
To just call around and see, tell everyone that where I am, because everyone is going to be worried about where I was.
Did you have bail set?
Yes, I was held on a $25,000 bail.
Okay. You know, eventually we get the answers. Am I boring you? No. $25,000 bail. And that was probably on the 10th?
I believe it was, yes.
How many days did you spend in jail?
A little more than a week.
And during that week, did you contact Mr. Stern?
Yes.
Did you ask him to bail you out?
No.
What did you call him for?
Just to talk to him, see if he can contact some other people for me.
Why did you want to contact a whole bunch of people?
Well, I have family members. I had a roommate.
Well, why didn't you call them?
I don't have their numbers. They don't give you your numbers when you get arrested.
You didn't know your roommate's telephone number?
No. I had just moved in with her.
What did the defendant say to you when she called you?
She said that she was saving someone's dog and she got arrested.
And?
And I offered to bail her out with the agreement that
she
paid me back.
No, you offered to bail her out.
Yeah.
Did she ask you to bail her out, or did you say?
I offered.
What did you say to her?
I said, I have the money and I can bail you out with the agreement that you'll pay me back.
And what did she say?
She said, you know, she was polite about it, like, oh, you don't have to, and I insisted.
So she said you don't have to?
I wanted to.
Good. So what are we doing here?
Because she owes me money for it, and she didn't fulfill the agreement.
Now, it doesn't sound to me like there was an agreement.
Well, yeah, when I offered to bail her out, I said...
She said, no,
you have
I don't
to,
want
you have to
pay
me
said,
back.
I have the money and I want
I
to.
I wouldn't have done it if I just gave her the money to keep.
Yeah, I think
so. That's why we're here.
Yeah, I think you would have. What happened with the case?
Eventually, I took a plea bargain for a second-degree theft.
So you were found guilty?
Yes. When you take a plea bargain, it's basically saying that I have done the crime.
I'm not a surgeon. I'm not an eye surgeon. Well, I actually know what that means. Yeah. When you take a plea,
no, but
you're found guilty of a crime. In your case, a theft.
Finishing that, it's better than getting a strike on my record with a second degree strong arm robbery. So that's why I had done that.
It's a far cry from saving somebody's dog. Okay, anything else you want to tell me? I'm uninspired by your story.
She owes me the money.
I don't hear a contract.
Why would I just give someone $2,000?
Because you liked her. That's why.
Borrow her the money, not give it to her.
Because you liked her.
Not enough to give her $2,000.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. You want to say anything to me?
No. I think you have the whole thing pretty much figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I can't argue with that.
Great. Perfect. Are we done?
No, there's the knife incident.
Well, tell me about it.
So we were arguing and I had gone to bed to avoid the oncoming fight, and I was trying to sleep and she was in the other room playing music really loud, and I got up and...
Because by this time she's dating your brother.
They weren't dating, but they were, together.
Yeah,
and, I told her to turn it down, and I said 17 was the loudest you could turn it to. She compromised at 21, which was still really loud. It was 1:30 in the morning, and she grabbed the glasses off my face and crumpled them. And from there, we were pushing each other in the hallway, and I woke my brother up and told him to take her home.
Is this the brother?
Yeah, that's my brother.
He usually looks like he's half asleep now.
Well, from there, she slapped me, and my brother was up, and he got in between us, and she slapped me again. I slapped her back, and from there, she grabbed a knife, and she came at me, and my brother restrained her, and we wrestled the knife out of her hand. I had her in a chokehold on the couch. I let her go. She was screaming in my face from there, and she pushed me into the closet. And after all that and getting a knife pulled, I held off, I was really angry. And that was the last straw. I punched her in the face. And we got in the hallway and she punched me. And I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. She came out, I have it all written down. I wrote it down the day after, just because I can't, I'm taking some time to think. She came out and she came at me with a knife again.
Did she stab you?
No, she didn't get to me, no. I don't think she was fully, she was mostly threatening me with a knife, not intending to, stab
Mr.
me to
Stern.
Death. Yes?
Enough. Go
well,
home.
Well, that's the story.
Go home.
I have nothing to say.
I don't think it's a nice thing for her to do. I don't think it's a nice thing for her to do. I don't think it's nice for her to slap you. I don't think it's nice of you to punch her. I don't think it's nice of her to take out a knife. I don't think it's nice of her to play the music too loud. I have a feeling there's a whole subculture going on here that I'm not familiar with. And quite frankly, Mr. Stern, at my age, it's a subculture that I don't want to become familiar with. So let me tell you this.
It has to do with her coming at me with a knife, not our culture.
Subculture.
That I'm not following.
Okay. I'm not following
okay.
somebody
Can you follow
who's
that
trying
she came
to tell
at me,
me
with a knife.
Listen to me. Were you injured?
She threatened
Were
me with
you
a knife.
Were you injured?
Is it okay to threaten someone with a knife and
no,
approach them with a knife?
Not compensating
okay.
for that.
Well, she doesn't have to injure me. That still gives me the right to sue.
It gives me the right to say goodbye, which is what I'm doing. Toodaloo. That's all. Go home, everybody.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
She wanted me out of her life, and she was just being to push me away.
I think you got mad over the situation that we're no longer close.
I love my brother.
I had to mediate between them, and it was just put me in a situation that I felt uncomfortable with.
I'm trying to keep her out of my life.
I hope he just no longer contacts me anymore and all the drama's over with.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Jelena versus Allen. Step forward.
John Jelena is suing 22-year-old Samantha Allen for unpaid tickets and damage to a car in his name.
Mr. Jelena, when did you buy this 2007 GMC Envoy?
I bought it in February 2013.
And what did you pay for the car?
like $12,000 or $13,000 for the car.
It's what's 12 or 13?
It's all. I got a contract with me from my bank.
What did you purchase it for?
For vehicle to drive.
For work, for pleasure, for both?
For work, pleasure, both.
And you kept the car for how long?
About 6 months.
Why?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Why did you keep it for 6 months?
Because...
And look at these eyes. These eyes know the truth. Only the truth.
And later today...
Our local news aired a story that the banquet hall that I had rented for my reception...
Camelot
was in foreclosure, and all the brides were out of their deposits.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. John Jelena says 22-year-old Samantha Allen took over payments on his truck and then gave it back. He is suing for unpaid tickets and damage to the vehicle.
Why did you keep it for 6 months?
Because...
Look at these eyes. These eyes know the truth. Only the truth. So you pay $12,000 or $13,000 for a car that you needed for work, transportation, social. You bought it. You invested... How much of a down payment?
I believe $1,000 down.
And you were making payments, and you drove it for 6 months. And I'm asking you why you got rid of it.
Couldn't afford it anymore. Had a change in my finances and couldn't afford the car anymore.
You bought a new car. If you had a change in your finances, what kind of a new car did you buy?
I bought a 2004 Jeep Wrangler.
From whom?
It was a used car dealer in Voorheesville, New York.
And how much did you pay for the 2004 Jeep Wrangler?
$5,000.
So this is what you did. You put an ad on Craigslist for somebody to take over your payments. This young lady said she would take over your payments. You never sold her the car. The car remained in your name. She was making payments to the tune of?
$400 a month.
And that's what Mr. Galena was paying.
Yes.
After a few months, how many months?
I owned the car from August to December.
You didn't own the car
at all?
Well,
I paid for the car from August to September. December, sorry.
And for the 5 months that you had the car, you paid for it?
Yes.
And then you couldn't afford it anymore?
No, I purchased a new car.
So you returned this car to Mr. Galena?
Yes.
And Mr. Galena says that while you had the car, you had some tickets.
These tickets I've never seen.
I'd like to see the tickets.
Your Honor, I found the tickets in the car when the car was picked up.
Just let me see the tickets.
Okay, here's...
You would acknowledge that if you had the car for those 5 months...
No, I would have paid the tickets,
yes. Listen, you would acknowledge that if you had the car and the tickets were given during the time that the car was in your possession, they're your tickets, right?
Right.
Good. Now we see this is... The original fine was $50, now it's $85. That's one ticket.
Yes, and there was also a toll violation ticket.
Just a second. This is one ticket.
Yes.
And a toll violation?
It was a 35-cent toll, and with the running the toll and the easy pass violations and all that, it's
$39. $39. $124. That's her problem. What else?
It was... damage on the car. When she bought the car, the tires were 80.
She didn't buy the car.
Well, when she took the car from me, the tires were 80%.
I don't care. I'm not dealing with tires. I'm not taking a ruler into your tires. What else?
She never did any maintenance on the car.
Who cares?
She wrecked the side of the car. She did damage.
Just a second. Wreck the side of the car. I'll hear you on, Mr. Galena. Show me a picture of the car before. Show me a picture of the car when she returned it to you.
The picture of the car is before in my phone. I can't get around my phone.
I'd find it. You can find it. Did you have an accident with the car?
No, Your Honor, I did not. The car was damaged when I got the car. The only damage that was on the car when I picked it, when he dropped it off to me, was the back bumper, and it had scrapes on the back. That was the only damage done to the car.
And it was like that when
It was like that when I got the car.
Were there any other damages on the car when you returned it? Mr. Galena, show me the damage that you're talking about.
Right here's the picture of the damage.
Is that... Quiet. Is that to the bumper?
No, it's not.
Okay, then I'd like to see it. Would you show this picture to the defendant, please?
No, Your Honor, that was not there when I returned the car. I have a picture of the vehicle in my phone of when I first got it,
and there's absolutely no damage whatsoever. And I have witnesses who were there when I returned the car to him that show that there was no damage.
Who was there?
He was there when the car was picked up with the tow truck that he sent to my house.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today,
October 18th of 2013, which was a month before I paid that deposit, that the judgment of the foreclosure and sale was signed.
Got it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. John Gelina says 22-year-old Samantha Allen took over payments on his truck and then gave it back. He is suing for unpaid tickets and damage to the vehicle.
Okay, your last name?
Tanaka, Your Honor.
Any damage on the car?
There was no damage on the car. Like she said, there was a little bit of, the rear bumper had a little bit of damage on it, but she was never involved in any kind of accidents.
Were you all present when he came to pick up the car?
He did not pick up the car, Your Honor.
Somebody else picked
up the car. He sent a tow truck to pick up
the car. Do you have a tow truck person?
No, they wouldn't be able to make the trip.
Okay, what else do you want?
That's it, the tires.
Good, $124, judgment for the plaintiff. Thank you, that's
cool. Parties are excused when they step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Flynn versus Vaughn. Step forward.
Newlywed Dawn Flynn is suing banquet hall owner John Vaughn for the return of her deposit when the hall was foreclosed.
Miss Flynn, you were getting married. You were looking for a place to hold the wedding. You found one that you liked. That place had been owned by Mr. Vaughn. Did you meet with Mr. Vaughn or one of his agents?
One of his agents.
Did you meet at the facility?
I did.
What was the address of the facility?
I don't know the exact address of the facility.
It was
on the frontage road right next to Knights Action Park.
Is that where your facility was?
Yes, Your Honor.
And on what date were you there?
The first original appointment was on November 19th of 2013.
Did you give a deposit on that date?
No.
What was the date you went back?
On November 26th of 2013.
Did you go back with the same people or were you?
I just went alone. The first time I went with my mother, my grandma, my grandpa, and my fiance, Mike.
And the next time you went back alone?
Yes.
On the 26th?
Correct.
You would, in between the 19th and the 26th, looked at other venues?
Right.
And you decided you liked this one the best?
Yes.
What was the name of it?
Camelot Banquet Center.
And when you went back, did you meet with the same person?
I did.
And that person's name was?
Della Thomas.
Your employee?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And you gave a deposit of how much?
$500.
And then you saw?
On January 9th of 2014, our local news aired a story that the banquet hall that I had rented for my reception.
Camelot
was in foreclosure, and they have lost the building, and all the brides were out of their deposits.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now I'll hear you.
When I found out that I was being foreclosed on, they gave me 2 weeks' notice.
Your agent accepted $500 from her.
Your agent. Your Honor, I have no record of that $500 transaction.
Let's see what she has.
Let's see what she has. The agreement, the rental agreement. I have got the receipt that Della gave me.
I would just like to see those.
As well as the docket from the foreclosure that shows that the effective date of the foreclosure was July 25th of 2012, and that on October 18th of 2013, which was a month before I paid that deposit, that the judgment of the foreclosure and sale was signed.
Got it. I'd like to see it.
Your Honor, can I see a copy of that receipt?
Absolutely. You show that to me, please. Got it. You were one of the three defendants in the foreclosure proceeding.
I'm the only owner of the facility.
I said you were one individually. Your name is John R. Vaughn?
Yes, ma'am.
Then you were an individual defendant in the foreclosure proceeding. And you were appearing pro se without a lawyer.
That's true, Your Honor.
$500, judgment for the plaintiff, that's all.
Parties are excused when they step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I lost, so fair and square.
So much time and planning goes into a wedding, and to have this thrown at you by watching the news, it's kind of a lot to take in.
I've been in foreclosure for 2 years. The bank didn't want it, but found out they just took it from us.
We luckily were able to book another reception hall.
Don't invest in banquet halls.
I'm just happy it's over with.